Pardon.
Hey, Rob, dead hawk. Would you ever be willing to wear a V-neck?
Brain Dead Radio presents...
They destroyed everything he had. Everything that he was.
Now, all that stands between a city and a disaster is a man who's been out of action for 30 years.
Crime has a new enemy.
You really are crazy.
Get ready to rock.
And with that, we now have the first episode of The Ed Hawkins Show. More importantly, Brain Dead Radio presents The Ed Hawkins Show. Yes, it's me, Ed Hawkins. You may have remembered me from my various voicemails on both Brain Dead Radio and its precursor podcast. You may be asking yourself, why am I doing this show? Well, I got tired of waiting for Rob to invite me on to Brain Dead Radio, so instead, I've decided to put together my own show. With that, I go over to my friend, who's been with me for many years, a good friend of mine, Randall. I also want to point out, just for the record, that Ed Hawkins is clearly a fake name. I'm trying to be all internet-like and matrixy with it. So, you know, once again, completely fake name, just to protect the innocent.
It's a great handle. This is Randall. Thank you, Ed, for that introduction.
We've known each other for quite a few years, isn't that right? You know, it's at least several years back when I think you were working at a comic book store or something like that.
That's right, yes.
Yeah, I think the whole thing came about because I was introduced by another Ed, an actual Ed, and you were working the counter at that comic book store many of those years ago.
The real Ed, yes, introduced us.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah, we haven't seen that guy since, pardon me, I've been drinking tonight. The beer of tonight has been Beck's. So sorry, Rob, I'm not drinking Byingtons, nor am I wearing a V-neck, only because American Apparel doesn't sponsor this show, although if American Apparel does want to sponsor us, please contact me at any time, we'll work something out.
I do suspect you're wearing a V-neck under the shirt.
That is
the
very
regular
possible.
Shirt that you're wearing.
That is very possible, I could be. But for the sake of yourself, I did not want to show any chest hair action. I'm not a fan of that kind of 70s sort of thing, unless I got some gold chains going on and all that.
Thank you.
Yes,
thank
you. I know for everyone's sake, it's a good thing to have. Now I've already introduced you, but I also wanted to point out where we are in a relative location. I don't want to give my exact address. I know we are currently broadcasting from a very 70s apartment. There's a lot of wood paneling. Like I said, American Apparel, give me a call. I'm telling you, this is perfect for a studio setup. But we Randall and myself, live in the beautiful San Fernando Valley. Yes, you may have remembered it as the place that Bill Murray tried to convince Vigo to go to, that son of a bitch, but thankfully he did not show up, and we are actually, well, he lives in a different place with his girlfriend. I just want to make that clear, but don't want to give the wrong idea, nothing wrong with that, obviously, but that'll be in future installments with other people, but, near a very famous mall that was used in the fantastic drama that was Commando. Isn't that right?
That's right, yes. Many a people were murdered at this corner in Commando, in a very popular mall.
Yes.
That once stood here.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I live near, relatively close distance to a place where Bill Duke ran over a man.
That's right.
And that's the interesting thing about living in Southern California, especially in L.A. I mean, sure, you got to deal with an L.A. rent, but the benefit is you get to see a lot of filming going on every so often. Not all of it's run over to Canada, but... we got occasionally get some good stuff. I mean, I can tell you when I went to school over at Cal State Northridge, I mean, this was a real treat when I saw Star Trek, earlier, last year. I got to see my college library as the exterior of Starfleet. That was something, wasn't it?
And it was also used in the acclaimed Sky High.
Yeah, Sky High with Kurt Russell and Kelly Preston. Yeah, and Dave Foley before he really sold out.
Arguably the greatest movie of last decade.
Sure it has, sure. But like I said, occasionally you get to see some, the magic of Hollywood, out there on the streets. I mean, that's the cool thing about, like, Judd Apatow or something like that. You can recognize anything he's got. I mean, Pineapple Express, that was, like, in North Hollywood. You know how it is. But, of course, being the San Fernando Valley, the other thing that goes on is obviously a little thing called pornography. That's Isn't that right?
Yes, it is. The porn capital of the universe.
That is correct.
Is that the title, the official title?
Well, I know it's porn is the greatest the greatest natural resource in the country for America, and we got to, you know, that's why we pay the amount of defense that we do.
I thought Germany had the highest amount of.
Well, that's the kinky porn. I mean, you know, I think the regular porn.
That's the deviant pornography.
Yeah. I think for our sakes, let's, you know, the regular kind of, you know, meat and potatoes kind of porn, if you get my drift.
Very American, fundamental type.
Yes, it should be in the Bill of Rights, actually, that sort of thing. But I will point out, neither myself or Randall have, you know, been in pornography, I think, for the better. Despite, you know, even when money got low, we never had to go that far. But,
No, never. at least not that we'll talk about here.
Yeah, that's true. And believe me, if he isn't telling me, folks, he will not tell me, you know, off air. But I will say the greatest example of seeing a porn shoot for me was, like, I was watching some episode of Entourage, and they show this one director, and, like, they're just, it's craft services is by way of Arby's.
Oh, nice.
Yes. They had the Arby's ready to go, beef and cheddar, right for the taking. But
so to speak.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and that horsey sauce, don't get me wrong. I don't know if you've ever had this stuff, but it's kind of very suspect looking.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it ain't bad, but it's mayonnaise and horseradish. Yeah, let me tell you, it's not a pleasant looking thing to be seen if you got it all over your face. But and speaking of all over your face, I will say, you know, I know a lot of people, you know, listen to Brain Dead Radio. They're all over the country, maybe even the world. I could say that, you know, as always, there's always an interesting thing going on in L.A. I mean, I could tell you from where I am, I live within walking distance of 4 weed shops. I think that makes the people in Amsterdam jealous. Now, let me just say for the record, I've never smoked, and it never really appealed to me. I know, in fact, we're actually even considering, like, making it, legalizing it for the state for recreation use.
Now, when you say weed shops, are you talking about medicinal marijuana shops?
That's
what I'm
saying.
Or are you talking about smoke shops?
You see, that's the funny thing, because I think you have a bit of both. I think we both have the so-called water pipe shops, but then we also have the actual medicinal medical marijuana. Now, obviously, to you stoners out there, that's going to mean nothing, because all you have to do is, you know, pay the doctor off to get a letter saying, give this man some weed. And because we don't have any laws in the books, and they're still trying to work that out, you know, that's why they've just, as they say, sprung up like weeds.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
There's a great weed shop that just, a medicinal marijuana store that just popped up in Westwood, not too far from here. And it's near the college right there.
Right. Near UCLA. Yeah.
UCLA, that's right. No, UCLA, sorry.
Yeah.
And it has the most glorious pot leaf neon sign ever.
Yeah, it's very funny that, like, for a stoner or anyone who smokes a lot of weed, a stereotypical stoner, like, they'll get very creative, but unfortunately it'll only focus on weed. So that's why I'm a believer in what Todd Berry says, is that pot should be legal, but being a pothead should be illegal. And if you weren't a pothead, you'd understand, you know? But that's just one of the many things going on in our fair city, and I know you had some other stuff that you wanted to bring up, I think, going on.
Well, there's a surging homeless population near where we live, and it's become kind of a concern. Something that I'm concerned with personally is not so much the homeless people themselves or even being charitable in any way. You know, I don't mind giving a couple bucks or some change out to, you know, somebody who's in need.
Mm-hmm.
But something that terrifies me, I don't know if this is the case with you, if you can agree with me on this, but the one thing that scares me the most is physical contact.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm terrified. Like, I try to, and I'm not trying to be a snob about it, but, you know, it's like you give a guy a dollar or something, and I try to be as careful as possible, kind of drop it into the hand or, you know, kind of hold on to the part of the bill, and then he makes the contact with the other half, and then I let it go immediately.
Yes.
And that kind of thing, and just try to, but I've heard stories of, you know, I've come close myself of being touched in, you know, physically by, you know, by very dirty homeless guys. And also, I've heard of other people being hugged and accosted in ways by homeless people that terrifies me. And I don't know how to establish that kind of boundary.
Right.
If we can do that. I don't know if there's maybe some public service announcements or something.
I can say for me, I mean, I know sometimes it would, you know, sometimes I know, like, sometimes I'd be on a date and, like, you know, some guy's like, why aren't you talking, you know, dealing with the homeless guy? I'm like, I don't want to talk to him. For me, I avoid him. I put on the Travis Bickle defense face, as I like to say, and make sure no one's fucking with me. But, you know, for me, I don't think, you know, it's been years since I've given change to a homeless person, not out of, you know, being cruel, but I mean, for one thing, to me, you know, I don't want the homeless guy to see, I have, like, if I got cash in my wallet, I, you know, he sees, like, I got, like, 220s, but I give him a buck. So to me, that's like a, you don't want to give him, you know, these, then it looks like you're stepping him. I know in terms of being hugged, I know this was a great concern. We were like, I do this social group thing on Tuesdays every so often, and I know we do, like, there'll be, like, free hugs, and I'm like, I at once asked, like, do we have the right to refuse service? Because, like, I don't want to hug a homeless person. And then, you know, we actually did it last Saturday, and I did a few hugs, but I wasn't all that crazy about the approach.
Are these random hugs? Like, you just walk around randomly hugging people?
Well, here's the thing about that. I think that when they do the hugs, see, their approach at the social group would be like, you go up and just hit people up, say, you want a free hug? To me, I don't like doing that. I like to have the hugs, you know, people want to come to the hugs. So I'll get out there, be like a carnival barker, kind of like Cheech Marin from Dusk Till Dawn, but not as filthy. Although I think next time if I'm going to do something like that, I'm going to get myself a snappy straw hat.
And less Mexican, just to...
That's true. Well, I know I get the less Mexican thing covered, clearly, but, you know, I'll get the straw hat out and, you know, really whip it up. Unfortunately, I think I was going towards British when I was talking there, so... It was, you know, it's just something I tend to deviate. I don't know why. I just seem to go into other accents for no good reason.
No, that's fine.
But, yeah, no, you're absolutely right. There needs to be a protocol. And the homeless, you know, and, it's like the homeless should play ball the same way. It's like the homeless should not be camped out by the ATM. It's like, because God damn it, you saw me with cash in my hand. Now you're going to come after me. It's like, you bastard. So well, I've had to avoid stuff like that. So.
Yeah, yeah. All bets are off at that point. I'm wondering if we can establish more of an etiquette, you know, or
absolutely.
Something. I don't know how we would do that. Do you have any theories on how
no,
we could
you know, the funny
take
thing
care
is,
of that?
The funny thing is about etiquette is, like, there's a very I remember years ago there would be this story, like, over at the Van Nuys Courthouse, there would be homeless, and there's government buildings and all that. Well, the homeless around there that had been there for a long time would actually complain about other homeless moving in that weren't familiar with the ways of how things go. Apparently there's a hobo code.
The hobo code, yeah,
yes.
I've heard of that.
And they didn't like it. And I mean, you know, I've had my close scrapes. I remember once I was at some club downtown and I was with some guys. I'm not really friends with them anymore, but like they got some like guy, like I think he either tried to ask me for my car or some shit like that, and then he went over like to the other guys, and I'm like, I remember sitting in my car ready to dial 911 in case anything went wrong, because he was just standing there talking to him. And it kind of, you know, I mean, as stupid as it sounds, it does spook me a little bit. I mean, you know, you try to act like, you know, I mean, you know, we don't live in the shittiest area either, so we're not trying to act like we're street smart or anything, but, you know, we do try to have our wits about us. But to me, it's like, it's just a matter of boundaries. I think you got to have, like, you know, they know how, you know, things should work, and you should do the same, and if no one's fucking with each other, then I think it's all right. But, you know, clearly, you know, you don't want to get out of, you know, you don't want to get out of line. And it's funny. You know,
Oh, go ahead.
No, it's funny about like even giving money. I remember I was at Warped Tour one time, and like some guy like held up a sign, just says, "Can I have a dollar?" And I actually, in a moment of like weird, you know, joy, I actually gave it to him just because I said that you're being fucking ballsy. So, you know,
I'm thinking maybe what I should be more clear on is an update of the hobo code that includes a clause of no physical contact in any way.
Oh, I agree.
I just, and I'm not against being charitable, and it's not a problem to me, but I just, the touching,
you don't want to be
the touching is the part.
You don't want to be de-loused.
Yeah, yeah, because, like, I got somewhere to go after that. I don't want to be, you know,
you don't want to burn your clothes.
I don't want to have to, you know, I don't want to show up somewhere and somebody's like, hey,
why do you have Lysol
over
here?
Why do you smell like a hobo, you know, that kind of thing, and I just, you know, just thinking of ways that we can avoid that.
Oh, yeah, because
these are the kind of things I think about, you know.
Because there's no reason you should go in there and smell. Let me tell you, there's a great story of, like, when I used to work at this, where I used to work, there was this one guy, I used to call him the Office Smithers, and this guy just had rank BO. It blew my mind that this guy could get dates. And it's like, he used to claim that was a medical problem. Now, genuinely, there are those kinds of problems, but it's like, well, wait a minute, it's like, it became so bad, you know, this is after I was gone, it was like, the office got up and complained, and it turned out I just refused to wear deodorant. Because, really,
well,
there's no excuse to have BO.
It is a medical problem to stink, you know, when you sweat, but... There's also a medical solution, which is to
wear
deodorant. That would
or
be the,
wash regularly.
Yeah, that would be either, you know, either one of those.
I mean, we can't even say the French are like this, because I think that they'd be disrespectful to the French.
Yeah. I don't pretend to understand the French.
Yeah, I don't think anyone can. I think the French can relate to us also. But you know, other than that, you know, you've been out there, you know, doing your thing, which is always cool. I know I am too. But you know, that's how it is. So what else you got going on?
You know, not much. We covered the homeless thing was something I really wanted to talk about today, the update of the hobo code.
Yes.
But, you know, We were talking about the city and some locations that were around.
Oh yeah,
over here.
I mean, you know, this is, you know, LA for what it's worth. It's not a bad place. I mean, it's got its problems like any other place. I will say to Rob and to the other guys out in BDR, we don't have to, you know, we don't shovel snow and it's not negative 30 outside. It's actually a quite pleasant, probably in the 60s right now, and I could walk outside just wearing a simple hoodie. So. Thank God we don't have to deal with snow. So if that means, you know, hey, as I said, paying an extra $300 in rent, so be it, I say.
Well, in Los Angeles, we get a reasonable, like, bout of pseudo-winter, which is sort of a livable temperature outside, like you were saying, about 60 degrees or so, before for about a month. And then it just rockets right up to 300 degrees again, mm-hmm. perpetually. It becomes the surface of the sun.
It's a dry heat, you know, and... Yeah.
It's horrible.
But, yeah, no, especially, believe me, in my apartment with the only one air conditioning unit in the bath in the bedroom, it's like, it becomes like a, you know, like a Southern Gothic movie in this apartment. It literally just, like, everything is very slow and lazy, and I'm sweating, and my 360 is probably frying on the inside, which would do anyway if it's not sub-zero in here. But, you know, you always have that going on. I mean, you know, it's cool. I mean, if you really want to see snow, you just got to, like, drive up, like, maybe, like, an hour and change up to the mountains, and... I mean, it's cool because, you know, we're in the valley. You can see snow on the mountains on a clear day, and it's, you know, that's something, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, other than that, it's like I said, you just got, like, weed stores everywhere. But like I said, we're not, you know, I'm not, never came to me, and I know there have been opportunities, but surprisingly, my sobriety holds up. I like to say I get high on life, you know, for the kids out there. But
sure, yeah.
We, you know, but we are occasional drinkers. I know, as I said, we're drinking a nice, you know, nice, decent German import here, Beck's, and, you know, I know you got your choice of drinks. But for me, I just like have, you know, if I go out, like on a Friday, I just have like a couple of beers, you know, but, you know, try to avoid the hangover situation. But I'm like a lightweight drinker, you know. It's like me, 3-4 beers at the most. And I know, Rob, you're probably fucking laughing at me right now, but because you could probably, you know, you do like double that in the same amount of time. But I'd be dead if I tried to match you. I don't know. You got that European thing going on, dude. And I don't know. I don't, something, you know. For whatever reason, I just can't, you know, drink very much. So I'm like the anti-Native American.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there are a lot of great bars and stuff around here. There's mm-hmm. like one bar every block between us here.
Oh yeah.
And they're all pretty cool. And you know, you can basically throw a stone and find a cool bar out here. And it's nice. I do drink a little more heavily than Ed, but. One thing maybe we could talk about here is when you order a margarita.
Yeah.
I wanted to bring this up because this has happened to me a few times.
Right.
And you go to like these little dive bars, and mm-hmm. they're pretty cool because like they're not, you know, it's not like a suit. A lot of times in Los Angeles, for anyone who's listening who's not from or lives in Los Angeles, in LA, there's a lot of pretense, and good and bad, you know, in certain ways, because like, you know, they'll try to make places look nicer than they really are.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of bars you go to, they try to have this club atmosphere.
Yeah.
And they really, really try to make it classier than it really is, which means you get overcharged and everything's kind of weird. And
mm-hmm.
there's all these like, you know, posers and stuff around. But,
right.
You know, one thing
we got a heavy D-bag, when you go, D-bag problem in this town.
The douche factor is high, is what I'm saying.
Douchebags and hipsters, and then hipster D-bags, as they say.
Yeah, and then it crosses over, hipster douchebag, douche hipster, I don't know. It's a very...
Oh, yeah. It goes all across all lines.
It's overwhelming. But, so when you go to these little dive bars, one in particular, I'll just drop the name of the Whiskey Bend, out in Burbank, which is this uncharacteristically un-Burbankian. Burbank's a pretty nice... Downtown Burbank's a pretty nice area.
Oh, yeah, it's a very nice... It's a very... when you go into Burbank, and that's for our out-of-state listeners, it's just that it's, you know, it's... There are areas of Burbank that look like they're right out of the 50s. It's very, very well kept. I mean, it's a very, very nice area. I mean, it's pricey to live, but for obvious reasons. And
they try to, like, close themselves off from the Los Angeles community.
Oh, yeah.
They've tried to branch off into their own city many a time.
Well, they are their own city. You know, it's an independent town, so...
Did that happen? I thought that was just something they tried to do.
No. They got their own police department. They are their own city. It's like Glendale, you know?
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to talk to the mayor about that.
Yeah, go get on that. I know.
But anyway, so you go to this uncharacteristically Burbankian bar called the Whiskey Bend, which is a pretty divey area, something mm-hmm. you'd find off like the, you know, the interstate or something,
right.
Like off a highway somewhere. And it's just this cool little karaoke place, and it's just a little dive. And when I order, you know, a margarita, and I'm clearly a, you know, an adult male, ordering a margarita, I get these novelty glasses, almost novelty glasses or different types of glasses. I know that as a bartender, when you mix certain drinks, the instructions are to, you can give somebody a random glass or whatever, doesn't matter, it's at your discretion. But I think sometimes they're fucking with me because they give me these big, like, it's like a glass that's like a wine glass. It's got a thin stem, but the top of it's practically a kiddie pool. You know, just this unbalanced, gigantic, just glass of...
Is this an actual glass, or is this like a plastic cup?
No, it's a glass. Okay. And so, and it's like third margarita. I can get like a Cadillac margarita or something like that.
Right.
Third one in, you're tipsy, you're walking around the bar, you're trying to balance this giant... thing, and it just causes some
basically
problems.
Like
it's also a little emasculating, because you're walking around and you're trying to, you're sitting there and it's like you're trying to talk to your friends or go around and do whatever, and it's just, it kills the vibe a little bit. So,
well, here's the thing about that. Well, first off, there's nothing wrong with drinking a margarita. Hunter Thompson used to drink margaritas, and anyone's a man, Hunter Thompson fits that profile right away.
Hell yes.
But I can understand about margaritas. I know where this one place I'd go to, it'd be like, I occasionally get a margarita. Now, I don't know jack shit about tequila, so, like, you want one with Patron? I'm like, yeah, why not? And...
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know shit about tequila. So, I get it, and it comes in, basically, because this place just sells them. It's like a cantina-like place. They'll just sell...
Cantina, like in Star Wars?
No, not like that. It's just like a Cabo cantina. Not like Sammy Hagar Cabo. I'm pretty sure not, but I'm not sure, but...
That's disappointing to me, but go ahead.
Really, about Sammy Hagar? But anyway, so I get the margarita, and it comes in basically in a plastic margarita glass because they go through so many of these things. And, I can't because this is obviously an audio medium. The margarita cup would be as wide as the palm of my hand. You have to hold it. You basically got to hold it like a brandy sifter. They're that big.
Wow.
But I've been to other places where I would order a margarita and it just comes in a regular glass. When you get margaritas, you get with salt or without salt?
I go saltless, again, just for the messy factor, because I don't want to have to deal with anything when I'm either drunk or tipsy. I don't want to have to.
That's understandable.
Plus, it's bitter, and I have concerns for my heart.
Not so much, yes, of
course. Not so much the liver, but the heart is what I really want to.
Very true.
Keep intact.
I used to. There was a time when I would drink margaritas. Now, like where I'd go, it'd be like friggin' $11. I know some people are like, "What the fuck are you talking about?" Well, let me tell you, and this will be in a future installment about. My trips through WeHo, but that's another show for another time, so long as everything keeps moving. But, I'd get margaritas myself, but most of the time, if I'm going out, and I go out, maybe once a week at most, or, maybe once every other week, I'll just be drinking beer. And it's funny, because when I used to hang around with these guys, they used to give me shit about that. And that's funny, because,
they give you shit about drinking margaritas?
Drinking beer. They would be drinking vodka, and that's when I had my short-lived vodka cranberry phase. And then I learned basically, Stoli, best vodka to cut with soda because it doesn't taste like vodka. Absolute tastes like Robitussin, utter shit. I know some people drink Grey Goose, and that's all right. But once again, the issue of I know people talk about the girl drinks, but it's like at the same time, you don't want to be drinking something like pure gasoline. I know Dennis Leary had the thing about the whiskey face, but
did you go for the Appletini?
I never had an Appletini. I have had a Cosmo every so often, but I know I remember I was once in Sydney, Australia, and I was a dumbass because someone actually, there was this place where I'd go, when I used to hang out with these guys, I would get a Cosmo, but with no ice. So it would just come in like a regular glass, it would not be in a martini glass. And I tried doing that in Sydney, and the guy looked like, what the fuck are you talking about? I was like, just give me a beer. And I learned my lesson very quick.
They threw a boomerang at you after that, right?
There were no boomerangs.
No.
And no Fosters either. So, clearly no one. I didn't encounter a kangaroo. I was in the middle of Sydney itself, which was fucking fantastic. But so hopefully I'll get back there at some point.
You had no brushes with death when you were out in Sydney, is that right?
No brushes with death, although I did get so drunk on six beers. I know, six beers. I ran...
Did everybody hear that? Six beers.
Yes, I know.
That's
my current world record
Watch out, man. I've never even heard of anyone...
Loose cannon at work here.
Yeah, that's right.
Loose cannon. And I nearly ran into a full-length mirror. I was also at this bar where the men's room was coated in graffiti, very folksy, stylistic graffiti. In fact, I think I saw Kilroy was there.
Yeah.
On the wall, but it was the rankest fucking bathroom I'd ever been in.
Oh.
I don't know why it was, but for some reason it kind of smelled like a Fuddruckers in there. That's how drunk I was.
Did it have the urinals or the trough? that you urinate.
I think basically, I mean, it had a modified trough where basically the urinals, the trough went to the floor.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was basically a urinal that went to the floor. It was a steel grate. You stood on a little platform and you went.
Oh, yeah.
So you had the troughness of the fact you have no shielding from seeing it, you know, from seeing other wang, and but the urinal nature of that it goes to the floor. I mean, believe me, I'm not so crazy about the trough myself. I know when I was in elementary school we had them, and it's just weird. I don't quite understand the reason to have them. You know, because you get a little gun shy, you know, and then you can't go, and then you stand there like an idiot, and you know, what do?
You
know,
you get stage fright.
At least with the urinal, if you can't go, you know, you could like flush and then come back later. You know, right, you don't want to feel pressured. You know,
I asked because I saw this one sort of trough urinal thing, and it's not so much the idea that bugs me, but there was this one, and it was about 2 feet wide, 2-3 feet wide. And it was about balls high, so it was this
That's
really
a big goddamn trough.
Awkward.
Was this at a baseball stadium
awkward.
Or something?
No. It was at a bar out in
really?
Oddly enough, in Burbank. And,
okay.
And so if you stand next to someone, and you know it's a pretty crowded place, so chances are you're going to be, you know, taking a whiz next to another guy. You're going to be rubbing elbows with somebody who's urinating. Now you get it's so close, it's so high. It's important to remember that because you get splashback.
Oh, God.
Now, not only would you get your own, because I'm sure everybody's experienced that, just a little sprinkle of something, little, you know, a little sprinkler action when you're taking a whiz, especially when you're drunk and you're trying to keep your aim and everything. But now you're getting splashback. You have the potential to get splashback from another guy next to you. And so, and you're so close, you can't do
it's
anything
about
it.
It's ricochet.
You can't
is what you're
go.
About.
You can't like go somewhere else. You can't go. I'll go to the other side of the trough.
Yeah. You can't go to the women's bathroom because heaven forbid. Let me tell you.
Well, not anymore, thanks to the you know. Apparently
well,
that's
that happened.
Okay. You know, that's frowned upon.
Well, let me tell you that when Ally McBeal first came on, like you know, back in like 2000 or something, I remember my father was saying like because they had
Ally McBeal reference.
Yeah, I know. We're going there. We're going there.
This is a very modern.
Yes. Let me tell you about that Napster, by the way. We're referencing already the 2000 era. I'm telling you, it's wild. But yeah.
You concerned about Y2K, by the way?
Oh, I am actually, and frosting my hair on top of that. That was another thing that happened to go on in 2000. But
I've been keeping up with Dawson's Creek. How about you?
I don't know, man. Yeah. I got
anyway. You continue.
I got nothing. But as I was saying, that like in Ally McBeal, they had this stupid thing about unisex bathrooms. I remember my father saying like, "This is the worst idea ever," and he's right because let me tell you, as someone who has worked in the janitorial field, women's bathrooms are far worse than men's bathrooms just because there's a lot more biological business going on.
I've heard of that. I've heard of that.
Yeah, thankfully we don't have to do that as men because if we did, we'd be scared shitless. But I know Splashback is a concern.
It's also a movie. It's a great movie.
Splashback?
I think it was directed by Ron Howard.
Oh, with John Candy. He was awesome in it. But I will say that... you know, dealing, you know, there's the funny thing is, at least I mean, in the bars I've been in, you know, you get yourself concerned about like being up against someone, but at a certain point when we got enough booze in you, you don't care, so you're ready to go and you're just ready to have, you know, have it, unless you're a mean drunk. Now, that's a whole different story, but.
Yeah. Then you're urinating on people.
Yeah, after you've given
aggressive,
a good
aggressively.
Beating. Aggressive urination is a concern.
It's profanity mixed with urination.
Yes.
And,
although I still think it's really bad if you got to take a dump when you're at a bar, though. Heaven forbid.
I've never had that happen.
Neither have I. Yeah. I mean, heaven forbid. You know, you try to do your, you know, try to avoid that as much as you can because you don't want to, you know, as my father would say, cop a squat. But I would say, you know, in dealing with bathrooms. In fact, I know Braindead Ray was talking about that. There's really some horrifying thing. I remember in elementary school encountering this, and it was like the horror of someone taking a shit in the urinal. Now, I know we all saw that in Kingpin, and we thought it was funny, but there's no excuse for this kind of behavior. I don't care how bad you got to take a shit. To take a dump at a urinal just requires so much finesse. You got to be an acrobat. Like I said, I mean, the fact is, and I even remember hearing something on NPR, I think it was like This American Life, where there was this thing about people who would work in retail would always find someone taking a dump on the ground. I don't know if this is meant to be...
On the ground outside?
In the store.
In the store?
In the dressing room, on the floor, took a shit right then and there. And it's like, is this a form of protest? Are they crazy? What are they trying to say by doing this? Is this supposed to be some sort of F you? I mean, I got no idea, but this just goes on.
Yeah.
And it's just the weirdest fucking behavior. But when I worked retail, I didn't deal with that kind of thing. I mean, no one took a shit in the college bookstore, and after paying those textbook prices, I'm sure they would. But
I'd heard of a story like that one time where I forgot who told this to me. I think it might have been my girlfriend told me the story, where somebody in protest because they would wipe themselves, but then throw it in the trash bin outside instead of the toilet, instead of flushing it down the toilet. It was smelling up the bathroom, and it was really gross. So, like, they had told, they confronted this person about it, and in protest, she had smeared feces all over the mirrors and counters and stuff against the people who had told her not to do that.
Jesus Christ.
And so, I don't really know what else to say about that other than that's just it, everybody.
Well, you know, it's funny mentioning about the thing about wiping yourself and not actually having the common decency to flush. I remember there's this great column called Ask a Mexican, and this is a really great thing about this guy in the LA Weekly by the name of Gustavo Arellano. Anyway, and people will come in with their questions about, like, Latinos and, you know, Mexicans and all the various things about culture, and, you know, responds to them in a great humorous way, is that in terms of, like, not flushing your toilet paper, apparently this comes from the fact that, like, where they came, you know, when people live in, you know, other countries where their plumbing ain't so great, it would, because if they tried flushing it, the toilet paper, it would just clog and screw everything up, so they're just used to throwing it out in the garbage.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, that's right.
But the fact to take the time and energy to smear that around, I mean, you know, you expect that kind of behavior in prison, but you don't really want to get that at the workplace. And really, if you're trying to quit, you know, there are better ways.
That leads to, I'm glad we talked about that, because that's a good segue into fecal vandalism, something when you're talking about.
Is this what you mean by turd burglar or what?
No. When I went to Magic Mountain one time, it was the first time I'd ever seen fecal vandalism, which is sort of just like somebody smearing feces in a place where you wouldn't expect it, you don't want it. Not that there's any place you would really want that, but, you know.
Unless you're into that sort of thing, but if you are, don't announce it. I'm not referring to yourself. I'm referring to the audience out there. You know, please.
Yeah, we're not judging anyone. But
this isn't Savage Love. Right? I don't even think Dan Savage would be horrified
by
that.
Like, when I went to throw away a paper towel in the garbage, there was shit smeared all over the trash can. You know, it's one of those little revolving ones where you have to hit it so it moves to drop the thing in. And there was Duke right on it, right there. And I didn't know. I froze. I was like, well, I guess I'm just going to throw. I don't know. I just threw the thing on the ground because I didn't want to touch the garbage.
My guess is that was probably like maybe some kid's diaper or something. I don't, unless they did the thing in South Park where someone had to shit and vomit so bad he just like went right in the garbage can.
It was
going out both ends. But I think probably it was like a little kid or something like that.
Yeah, maybe.
I
mean,
you know, or someone had effectively known as a shart.
It may have been a disgruntled employee as well.
Possibly. I know. There's a guy on the BDR boards, Timothy 225, about, you know, the guy, you know, back when in the 80s when he was working at, you know, I think it was like Six Flags Great American out there, Tim, and the shit he had to face down. I mean, when I worked, I used to work for the city of LA and like at the swimming pools, and I'd have to clean out the bathrooms. I mean, I encountered some weird shit, but never to that level. I mean, and occasionally, you know, you'd have to, it would just be bad. But let's just face it, the public, no matter what race, creed, color, ethnicity, sexual orientation, anything of that nature, is just disgusting. And that's something needs to be kept in mind.
Their disgustingness knows no boundaries.
Oh, absolutely. That's why you don't lick a turnstile at the subway station, you know?
Yeah. Well, maybe you don't.
Oh, I don't. I don't. You know, I never did. I mean, you know, money may get tight, but you know, never had to do that. So there are things I guess I'd have to do, but, you know, that'd be another discussion for another time. So, but other than that, life treating you good and all that? And
Yeah, doing good so far. Just, you know,
trying to live
keeping
the dream.
Busy and enjoying the beautiful San Fernando Valley.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And, yeah. Will I move? I suppose at some point, but you know, it's always up in the cards. But I will say the other great thing about being in LA is that you get access to movies, you know, that other people in the other parts of the country can't. You know,
that's right.
We got some
right.
great theaters out here.
Yeah, so. We got a lot of great places to go see, you know, like limited release movies and stuff like that, and they really pump, you know, they really. They promote those like hell out here, and even to the point where it's annoying sometimes because they badger you outside of movie theaters to go see.
Oh, yeah.
Screenings.
Well, I mean, those are the people that wanted to see a free screening. And I know over right, in fact, literally next door, I got the Arclight, which is a fantastic theater. Yeah. You get to reserve your own seat. You know, no bullshit. Ushers are there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, now granted, there's no guarantee. I remember when I tried to see State of Play like a few months ago. This kind of reaffirms my hate against old people. Old people are like teenagers. So some friggin' woman was like doing her nails in the theater. It pissed me off so much. Now, I didn't have the common decency to tell her to knock the shit off. I just moved over and went somewhere else.
I think I might have known. I don't want to sidetrack too much here, but I used to have a coworker who got fired because she would leave for a long period of time and do her nails in the bathroom. And somebody caught her, and she would do it every day, all the time.
File her nails, no kidding.
She would just do her nails. Like, she just, instead of working, she'd just disappear for hours on end doing her nails.
Really?
That may have been the same person. Because I used to work right here.
Yeah, you did, actually.
Yeah, it may have been her.
Possibly, but this was an elderly woman in her 60s. Although, I mean, really, you know, nothing worse than, like, someone clipping their nails at their desk. Let me tell you, that's some gross shit right there. But the theaters, I know I've brought it up in my voicemails, but the New Beverly, amazing rep house. You know, they're not doing anything right now, but, next month, like, in the middle of February, they're going to show Razorback, which is, like, this Aussie, like, it's basically Jaws with a giant wild boar. It's this crazy Aussie movie. And, you know, there were some really awesome times. I know Chud was always talking about the New Bev, and it's such a great place. And, you know, for anyone out of state that's in L.A., you know, do try and catch a show there. It's only like $7, you know?
Absolutely, it's great. They just recently had the Inglourious Basterds DVD premiere.
They did.
Over there, yeah. And everyone showed up except for Brad Pitt.
Well, yeah, you know, well, he's got Angelina Jolie, or may not have Angelina Jolie, yeah. Or just have Jennifer Aniston, or who knows what the fuck's going on. It's none of our goddamn business.
Yeah.
Because really,
Angelina, well, we know based on that, he doesn't make time for the rabid nerd community.
And, well, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so, of course. The man's got, you know, things to do. Yeah. You know, it's either knocking up Angelina Jolie or, you know, hitting Jennifer Aniston. We don't know. This isn't TMZ, for fuck's sake. So, and thank God for that. Yeah. Oh, God, it shows irritating. But, you know, that's the thing we got to look for. But, yeah, like I said, we got some good theaters out here. And but, you know, we still got to deal with the occasional bullshit like anything else. But, like I said, Arclight, great place. Not only that, you could, if you really want, they got a bar in there. But they only have, only on certain screens could you actually drink in the theater. Now, and then speaking of drinking, this is a crazy thing I read about. And, like, they got, it's a Burger King in Florida. It's a bar. Yeah. Sells Burger King products that you can drink. And let me tell you, I'm not a fan of Burger King to begin with. And Whoppers suck regardless. I don't even want to know what happens when you mix booze with it, because that's going to be, I think, a recipe for disaster. You know?
It doesn't sound very appealing. I mean, the idea of burgers and booze is great, but
it's Burger King.
Burger King, I'm not sure about. I'm on the fence.
Absolutely. And, you know, you could do a lot better with drunk food. I mean,
In-N-Out maybe sounds pretty good.
Oh, In-N-Out is the bit, you know, is, yeah. I know a lot of people from
In-N-Out,
around the country talking
the
about
The Habit,
In-N-Out.
Maybe, if Habit was a bar.
Oh, Habit, yeah.
The Habit would be great because it's the title alludes to so much. It's so many implications that The Habit becoming a bar/burger place might be the greatest idea in the
Absolutely.
Universe.
I mean, you know, In-N-Out is you know, it's a Southern California, you know, tradition. I know other people have Sonics. Let me tell you, there's like no Sonics in L.A. County.
There's one Sonics out in Lancaster.
Yeah, I'm not driving all the goddamn way for
it's
a
hour drive.
Forget it.
To go to Sonics.
I know what we do have, you know, over here. It's also been in and out. We got a place called Zanku Chicken, which is, you know, I know you haven't been there, but
boo.
Fucking great place. Don't you dare boo Zanku Chicken.
No,
how fucking
been,
dare you?
I've never been there. Actually, wait, I think I have been there one time. I got like a...
Very garlicky.
I think I got, I got this little... somebody ordered it. I've never been there. Somebody ordered it for me, and it was a little tin thing of chicken.
Probably a wrap or something like that.
Something crazy.
Yeah, it's good. You know, it's, I think it's, what is it? It was founded by, like, some Lebanese Armenians or something, you know. That's one of the many things known about L.A. We got a huge Armenian population for whatever reason, but if you ever watch The Shield, you're very familiar with the various cultures that go on in our very fine city.
It's a melting pot.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, and it's just one of those things, like, for whatever reason, you just have an just some kind of ethnic group that just out of nowhere they're in. I know Minneapolis has like the Hmong and the Somalis, and for whatever reason they have that. But here in LA, we've got Armenians. I have no idea how this happened, but it just did. So we have that going for us. I mean, Glendale, that's all you basically get. But
it's good times.
Oh yeah, you know, real good times. If you know you're into that sort of thing.
Are you saying you hate the Armenians? Is that
no, no, not at all. Not at all. I'm not saying that because I don't want to get murdered. I'm kidding. I'm kidding, I think. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Don't write. You know, later on we'll set up an email address so you can give me some, you know, hate mail about that issue. But
yeah, when are we going to start taking calls tonight? Is that
I'm not technically ex, you know, ex.
We're not
I'm not really that good at the technical aspect. I'm very much a layman. You know, this explains why I have still got the cathode ray tube TV. Believe me, folks, I live in a very Spartan apartment, mainly because I never gave a shit about furniture. I know you may have seen me on Facebook, and I talk about, like, you know, get my eyebrows fixed, but, like, damn it, to me, I'd rather spend my money on health stuff than, you know, like, toys. So I'm kind of like Patrick Bateman like that, you know?
Well, I'd like to just say that that's not completely true, because I happen to be sitting on a very, very comfortable IKEA chair.
Well, that's actually from Target.
So. Oh. Well, a very comfortable Target chair.
It's not bad. I will replace that chair, but when you're, you know, you're by yourself, and, I mean, there's some good shit on Craigslist, but it's like, you gotta get, like, when you have a small car, it's like, how the fuck am I gonna move this? And, you know, it's tough, because, like, you can't move a couch by one person, you know? And it's just too much, and... Like I said, I'd rather just put that money towards booze, going out, and probably getting some sort of hair removal going on or something like that. I don't know.
That's listening. Did you say heroin? You
want hair removal. Hair removal, heroin.
Wow. I think you picked a weird time to reveal that you're a heroin addict.
No, I'm not a heroin addict. I got too, you know, I'm not, I wouldn't clearly not be thin enough. And speaking of that, it still blows my mind. Speaking of heroin acts, like Artie Lang from Stern is a heroin act. It's very weird.
Is he really? I didn't know that.
That's what he was. And he recently tried to commit suicide by stabbing himself. But, like, it's weird to encounter a fat heroin addict. Because the idea of that doesn't make any sense. Because the idea of a heroin addict is, like, for one thing, heroin doesn't make you want to eat.
Well, he said he was a heroin addict, so maybe...
Oh, he was? I thought he still was.
I thought you said he... You just said he was. I thought you were...
I know he was.
I don't know anything about this.
That's what I heard.
I know he seems like kind of a dick.
Well, probably is.
But I've never
he's gotten progressively fatter.
I've never met the man. So
no, neither have I. So don't please don't send
was
any lawsuits.
Am I wrong? Was he on a sitcom at one point, or am I thinking of somebody?
He
else?
He was on Mad TV, I think.
Was
and,
he?
Yeah. I think he was known for that skit of "That's My White Mama" or something like that, or oh god, I mean it's Mad TV for fuck's sake.
I think
sake.
I saw him. I know him from Howard Stern, but I don't. You know, I didn't. I could have sworn I remember from somewhere.
I have no idea from what. I mean, to me,
this is very entertaining. By the way,
yeah, exactly. Stern isn't too bad. I always liked his interviews, but I'm not like I don't listen to his stuff on Sirius. I don't know if were a follower of Stern, but you know,
I've heard him. I like this movie and everything.
Oh, Private Parts.
Yeah, I've got.
Well,
nothing.
It's good. Good.
I've got
movie.
Nothing against Stern.
Yeah, yeah, and no, nothing against him. Like I said, I mean, he's got his thing, and like I said, he does. To me, he does very good interviews. But yeah. I was never one of those guys that was like really into him. So I bet that's just because I never listened to his show. I mean, for me with radio, like I was a huge, you know, I mentioned this in like in one of my voicemails like months ago, like about Phil Hendry, and I think he may still have a podcast. I don't know what's going on with that guy, but he always had a great shit, you know, great show, and it was just great shit all around. And to me, that's one of the many things that inspired me to do this show was, you know, his work and you know, Pump Up the Volume and you know, Smodcast, which is a great show, and Back Talk, which is a show, you know, Ian from Belfast and Christoph, you know, those two guys do, and then obviously, you know, podcast and Brain Dead Radio. But let me tell you, Randall, you, sir, are no lazy panda. So
I don't know what that means.
Well, that relates to, you know, BDR and I wasn't going to Brain Dead Radio. I'm not talking about some sort of sex thing or something going on.
Well, BDR, I don't know if, isn't that where you get the choking and the...
Possibly. You get the Marv Albert.
The whipping and the...
Maybe. But,
I'm not too familiar with that.
I have no idea, but...
I just thought you were referring to bizarre sexual acts when you said
no,
BDR.
No. That would be for another show at some other point in time. But let me just say that, you know, you sir are no lazy panda, you know, and...
I still don't know what that means. But
well,
okay.
that means because you know I'm not going to point fingers, but there's a certain individual you know on behalf of you know Brain Dead Radio that you know, when he's asked, he doesn't do shit that he's asked to do, and when he doesn't, it's not because he's busy, and it's not because you know life gets in the way. He's just a lazy fuck, and you know let's face it, hey, we're all lazy. Let me tell you.
Actually, I'm pretty goddamn lazy, so I could go toe to toe with this.
Oh no no
panda
no, no, no,
person
no, no, no,
that
no, no,
we're talking
you,
about.
You could not you. This man is an expert. He's the Bobby Fischer of laziness. And
I would like to know more about this, only because I go to great lengths to be lazy. And I will actually do something physically taxing in order to not have to do anything later, like to clear my schedule of anything physical. Like, I wish I had an example right now. This is really, really on the spot here. But I would be willing to challenge that.
Oh, really? Oh, man, that's a very tall order. Because let me tell you, not only... You are competing against what I think is the laziest man in at least these here United States. This man would put the dude to shame. And, I mean, you know, we're all lazy. I mean, you know, my bathroom is a horrifying mess, and, you know, I still haven't gotten around to actually cleaning it. But, you know, I'm a single guy. So, you know, it's just a matter, and I'm not here very much, which is why I have very little furniture. But, you know, it's just, I mean, we're all lazy, but this guy on Brain Dead Radio, real lazy. But
I think what you're saying is if there's anyone out there who wants to send an email and do that, and you could set something up so they can come by and help you out with straightening up around here, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far.
Somebody who's like, maybe, I mean, you're not going to pay them. I mean, let's
well,
just
we could out work there. Out some sort of sexual trade here, I
possibly,
think.
Possibly, but possibly. But most sexual. Important is that you'd be sort of a ward or a sidekick or a no, more of like a butler maybe.
I could use an Alfred
a servant
around here.
Type
yeah, absolutely,
person.
An Alfred.
And I say servant, but I mean yeah, more of an Alfred type.
Alfred
character.
Or Jarvis from the Avengers.
That's
I
right.
Think
yeah,
that'd be a good
exactly.
idea, but
not the movie Jarvis though. The physical Jarvis.
Yeah, I don't remember there being a movie Jarvis.
Well, there was the. He was artificial intelligence.
Oh, that's
he
right.
Was
he was the voice.
He was useless.
He was Homer in the animated in the mid '90s cartoon.
He didn't do anything really. He just taught. He was pretty smarmy, and he just make fun of everyone.
Well, that's Robert Downey for you. You know,
yeah.
The guy's
well,
a pimp.
Yeah,
so.
But so anyway, yeah. Just if anybody out there wants to volunteer, if they're in the valley here, let's go ahead and you can go ahead and send an email. We'll be giving out the email at the end of the show. So
we'll give
ahead.
Out an email in you know either at the yeah. end of the show or like a future episode. Or
and
something
send
like
photos
that.
Of yourself.
Maybe. This
because
isn't,
he may
this
be paying you in sexual favors.
You know? This isn't misconnections from Craigslist. It's a whole other story. But
yes,
that's another discussion for another time. So I think with that, unless you have anything else you want to contribute there, Randall, I just want to say thank you for being on the inaugural episode of The Ed Hawkins Show.
Well, thank you for having me. And I look forward to hopefully visiting again at some point.
Oh, absolutely. You know, you'll definitely be back on. And, you know, when there's something good to talk about, it'll be heard on the Ed Hawkins Show.
All right. Well, congratulations, man.
Well, thank you very much. And with that, I am Ed Hawkins.
And this is Randall.
With that, stay frosty.